I can't hear that piece that we sang without the memory of being with the National Christian Choir and singing in Nazareth in the Church of the Annunciation that song. Now, that's not where Mary sang that song, but it's a very special place to think about the Annunciation and Mary and the angel and her response. And then we sang in Manger Square in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. I always said that was something to tell your grandchildren about. I'm so glad that I lived long enough to be able to talk about that. Very special opportunities, very special memories. Holy is his name. Most of you probably will remember a great boxer, great athlete by the name of Muhammad Ali. He was not known to be a humble man. In fact, once when he was in his prime, Joe, I think this is too loud. Joe, I think we're getting a feedback. Once when he was in his prime and he was very popular and he was famous, he boarded a commercial airplane. And he sat in the first class cabin, and the flight attendant, as the plane was about to take off, said to everyone, "Please fasten your seatbelts." Now, this is a famous story. You may know how this story goes. And he didn't fasten his seatbelt. Then the flight attendant came up to Muhammad Ali, and she said, "Sir, you need to fasten your seatbelt." And his response was, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she said, "Superman don't need no airplane. Fasten your seatbelt." That was a shot of ice-cold humility right there for somebody who really needed it. You may know the Mac Davis song, an old country song. It starts like this. "Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day." You know that song? Judy knows it. You want to? How does it go? Okay, that's enough. The opposite of humility is pride, and all of us have some of both, pride and humility. There's true humility and there's false humility, and all of us have some of both, real humility and some that we like to fake. There was a pastor who was speaking at a charitable organization, and the chairman of the program committee came up to him and handed him a check for his services, and he said, "Oh, I couldn't possibly take this check. I'm sure you have better uses for this money." So the program committee chairman said, "Well, is it all right with you if we put it into our special fund?" And he said, "Of course. Tell me, what is your special fund?" And she said, "It's so that we can afford to hire a better speaker next year." Humility, it's something that we all need, and some of us need more of it than others. Be quiet. And it's something that we get sometimes, even when we least expect it. Question I have for you is, will you be receiving any humility for Christmas this year? Christmas, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, is filled with lessons of humility. Let's look first at the Virgin Mary, Luke chapter 1. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary could have sung, "Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're highly favored in every way." But she didn't sing that song. Instead, she said, "May it be to me according to your word." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing with God is impossible. Those are some of my favorite words in all the Bible. For nothing with God is impossible. Six words. You can nail it down to five. Nothing with God is impossible. Let that be our creed. Nothing with God is impossible. And what was Mary's response? I am the Lord's servant. Humility. Servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. In just a few weeks, Lord willing, some of us will be in the Holy Land, and I hope that one of the sites that we get to visit when we're there is Ein Kerem. Ein Kerem is where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. It's right outside of Jerusalem, and there's a cave there. And I hope that we get to go into that cave, and we will remember this story of the long, hard trip that Mary made from Nazareth all the way to Ein Kerem, over the mountains, to see Elizabeth and what happened there. And trust me, if we get to do that, this story is going to take on a whole new meaning for you. Trust me about that. You'll see when we get there. But for all of us right now, let's remember this. Luke 1, beginning in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Humility. Elizabeth was also pregnant miraculously. But she humbled herself at this greeting from Mary. And then we come to one of the most eloquent passages in all the scripture, Luke 1, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." God could have chosen a queen to bear his son. Instead, he chose a young girl who lived in a cave in a little hamlet called Nazareth. The story of Christmas is bathed in humility. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, "The grounds for belief and disbelief are the same today as they were 2,000 or 10,000 years ago. If Joseph had lacked faith to trust God, or humility to perceive the holiness of his spouse, he could have disbelieved in the miraculous origin of her son as easily as any modern man. And any modern man who believes in God can accept the miracle as easily as Joseph did." God could have chosen a king or a prince to be the earthly father of Jesus, but he chose a lowly carpenter who lived in a cave in a little hamlet called Nazareth. And in a few days, God willing, we're going to see that cave. We're going to see the workshop where Joseph lived and where Jesus worked alongside his father. The story of Christmas is bathed in humility. The shepherds in Bethlehem. Luke 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields. They were tent dwellers. They didn't stay in a 4-star hotel like we're going to. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They worked the night shift. Those of you who go with me to Israel, we're going to walk on those fields where the shepherds were watching that night. And you're going to see real, live, modern-day shepherds there now, tending sheep and holding the lambs. Those shepherds were humble, poor men living in tents in an open field, working the night shift. God could have sent his angels into the courts of Jerusalem. He would have had all kinds of witnesses and the angels. It would have made headline news in the Jerusalem Gazette. But instead, he chose a field at night and shepherds. The Christmas story is bathed in humility. The wise men, they followed a star to see the child. These were wealthy, elite, proud, learned men of the East. Yet they bowed before a baby, a child. The story of Christmas is bathed in humility. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant. A servant. Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The incarnation is bathed in humility. Yes, God has had a lot to say to us about humility through the people and the events of the Christmas story and the birth of Christ, but that's not the only place in the Bible where he talks about humility. There are countless examples. Let me share some of them. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus told this story in Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus continued, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself is humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus also said in Matthew 20, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. James said in James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. The child became in Bethlehem became a young man, and he turned the world upside down. He had been waited on in heaven by angels. People, there were hallelujahs ringing out from the universe that he created, singing his praises. Yet, he took a basin and a towel, and he washed feet. There's no way to paint a picture or write the words of a song or sing a song that can adequately describe the humility of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what the message is for us today in what I'm sharing. I don't have to spell it out for you. God has already done that, hasn't he? Pretty well. Saint Augustine said this, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. Dwight L. Moody said, a man can counterfeit love. He can counterfeit faith. He can counterfeit hope and all the other graces. But it is very difficult to counterfeit humility. When we are humble before God and before others, we bear fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? When we are humble, we bear fruit. The tree that does not bear fruit stands tall, and its branches reach to the sky. But the tree that bears fruit, the branches begin to bend over, and the tree bows in humility. If we fail to clothe ourselves in humility, God has ways of changing that. Sometimes, if we are not humble, God sees to it that we are humbled. Chuck Swindoll put it beautifully when he said this, God knows what he's about. If he has you sidelined out of the action for a while, he knows what he's doing. Just stay faithful, stay flexible, stay available, stay humble, like David did with his sheep, even after he had been anointed king. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch or keeping? Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Let us stand together as we worship King Jesus, even in the humility of his incarnation. Let us sing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.